This episode is brought to you in part by the Table Podcast from the Hendricks Center at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm Daryl Bach, one of the hosts, and I invite you to join us as we discuss issues of God and culture, which includes anything and everything. Listen on your podcast app or at dts.edu/thetable.
From Christianity Today, this is The Art of Pastoring. I'm Jared Wilson.
And I'm Ronnie Martin.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land.
What's up, Jared C? It's good to be here with you for another ep of The Art of Pastoring. Hey, before we kick this off, I just want to thank Christianity Today Magazine and CT Pastors for hosting and supporting us. I also just want to give a shout to our listeners. We have just been really excited and encouraged about offering this new pod. And the reviews that some of you have been posting have been really encouraging to us. So we just ask that you continue to do that. And we're, you know, as much as our heart is to encourage you in this, we have been encouraged through this. And so thanks for the privilege of allowing us to continue to record these episodes and support and listen. We're really excited about it. Today, me and my boy Jared, we're going to talk about hard seasons in ministry. Thankfully, 2020 has really, I don't know why we're even talking about it right now, because
it's been a cake.
2020 has been a piece of cake, obvi. The question I have, that just to kick us off, you know, when we talk about a hard season of ministry, which, by the way, is almost a cliche in some ways. I don't know that I ever talk to a pastor when it's almost like the first thing they tell me is it's been a hard season. It almost feels like the thing, the prereq you're supposed to throw out there to top every conversation. But talking about this mental, spiritual, emotional toll that ministry can have, it might always feel like we're in a hard season. So what do you think has been hard about this year in particular? And I'm not trying to be, you know, obviously this year has all of the obvious hardships, but for us to sort of needle down into it, what do you think has been particularly hard about this year?
Gosh, the real question would be where even to start, right? Because in any one of the factors, if it were going on this year, would be, I think, taxing. Like you, every pastor that I talk to and I ask how they're doing, and then after they say, I'm doing fine, and then you say, okay, how are you really doing?
After they lie,
yes. Do the yes. polite thing, and then they're honest. They all say some a variation of how tired they are.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't, they didn't have a lot of division or conflict in their church or something like that. It's just been the kind of year where you have to lean on gifts that you don't have or figure out expertise that you didn't think you would need. And so, yeah, I mean, 2020, obviously there's the pandemic. And so early on when you had all kinds of innovation around how do we do church when we can't when we can't do church. So some folks already had live stream stuff kind of figured out, but everyone had to figure it out all of a sudden. So even if you didn't do it, or if you were just kind of like, oh, we have, you know, this thing that's for people who just happen to be home or something, you're now thinking of it in more intense ways. So you have all of that, you know, people struggling with the technological you know, pressures. And then how that filters into the political turmoil, because the pandemic became politicized, this was already going to be a politicized year because of the election. So as that reached a fever pitch, now we've got, hey, if you think we should wear masks, you're clearly either not walking by faith or you're bought into, the scamdemic or whatever it is. So you've got that. And then we're on a multi-year trajectory of Americans trying to figure out this injustice thing,
yeah,
and racial disparity and problem of racism. And that's been coming to bear in the church environments. It's like this perfect storm.
Yeah.
For ministry's already hard. It's not easy any year. And then you put all three of these things plus whatever else, and man, it's just hard to put your finger on it. For some guys, it's obviously one thing was more pronounced in their church than others, but for a lot of pastors, man, it's as soon as you kind of press down on one mole, another one pops up.
Yeah, right?
You're playing whack-a-mole with this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, we use this terminology of like a hard season, and everything you just described is so true. And I think when we come into the call of a pastor, it doesn't take very long, if we've had no previous experience with it, to understand that this is a very like mentally fatiguing role. In whatever place it lacks some physicality, it makes up for in the mental strain that just encompasses it, right? And so I also think that I wonder, my question is, I'm wondering how unique this is to American ministry, in the sense that we understand that ministry is hard. Our expectations were that it was going to be hard, but we also have maybe a particular kind of idealism attached to what our level of hard season is supposed to be. And if it jumps beyond that, or if it eclipses that, like we've seen in 2020, then a lot of us are losing sort of our will to continue. Because one of the themes that we see, and I know we've had conversations about this, is that a lot of men that we're talking to these days are saying, I don't know that I can continue. I don't know that I want to continue. And I'm looking around. People don't know that I'm looking around, but I'm looking around. I'm clicking on those sites to see what else is available out there. I'm having conversations with people that might have some inroads into some new positions. Again, which is always to think like, well, so you think it's going to be a little easier. It's going to be a little greener on the other side of this. But at the same time, there is this desire to escape and to think, nope, this pastoring is hard, but this season has gone beyond the place where I feel like I can manage it anymore. How do we think through that? What are your thoughts on that? How do we think through it? And then how do we encourage those who we literally just described?
You know, I certainly would not want to make any kind of blanket statement about anyone who is just ready to throw in the towel and, you know, really believes that's what the Lord would have for them.
Sure.
I've always quit.
That's because you're a quitter, Jared.
I'm just a quitter. I've never been fired. I've never been driven out, but I've quit. Obviously, after 25 years of ministry, each of those positions was something I moved on to another one from.
Guys, just so you know, Jared is a self-professed quitter.
Exactly.
Just to encourage you.
So I just want to put that out there before I say what I'm going to say next, right? So I don't think it's a sin to quit. Because I heard that, especially after my last pastorate, when I resigned, I had people messaging me saying a pastor is not allowed to quit. And I think, man, like, first of all, where is that in the scriptures? Like, we're creating new laws. But also, man, what a burden you put on some guys in there and families who may be really struggling for whatever reason.
Yeah, so it might be the right thing for them to move.
Yeah, exactly.
We can say quit. We can also say move on. It might be the right thing for them to move on. Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be nice about it, but yeah, you know, you quit. So let me just say, I don't think there's anything wrong in and of itself of quitting. However, I would want to caution against kind of what you were referring to with this greener pasture thing. Is we've been watching people leave churches left and right out of some kind of consumeristic. I think people can leave churches for good reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who are leaving churches, especially this year, and they're going to other churches out of this consumeristic kind of impulse of, I don't like the decision that you made here, so I'm going to go find somebody who aligns with every one of my convictions about these, what I would consider tertiary things, not even secondary things, but tertiary type issues.
Yeah.
And it's pure, I mean, and that's just part of the American church. Ever since we've been mobile, ever since we have the options, we've been looking for the best fit, the best flavor, vibe, you know, whatever it is. I'm concerned that pastors may be somewhat imbibing that themselves, to say it's getting difficult.
Yeah.
And it's not what I thought it was going to be. And so I'm going to go someplace else, which is going to have its own problems eventually. That there really is no,
certainly, yeah,
there's no perfect church. And so for the same reasons that pastors, that you would want to caution your members from up and leaving it every time it gets hard, I think, or really think twice. It's not a light decision to make. And I don't know a guy who is thinking of it lightly, so I'm not trying to say that pastors aren't really processing these things. But that would be the caution that I would have, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because I think when we consider just what 2020 has brought, I think it's all brought challenges to you, to me, to our friends that were unanticipated. So we use the word unprecedented now. It's become a joke, right? But there's such a truth to it where we've been faced with things that we just, that have been unexpected. I wonder if it says something to us in the sense that shouldn't this be something that we have always expected in some ways? So if we really believe that that Christ is the one that is in control of the seasons, he even allows the seasons in nature to sort of like do their cycle and come about when they come about. Isn't he in control of the way that he brings us into and through particular seasons in a way that, that brings about like his purpose? I wonder that we, in our scrambling and in our fear, if we aren't pausing enough to stop and go, well, hold on, Lord, I wonder what it is that you're trying to do to me right now in this. And maybe right now, it could be a great time. It could be an opportune time for me to exit something because there's been a bunch of unhealth. And this has sort of illuminated that and it's created a path for me to exit. But I also wonder for the majority of us, if it's to say, hold on, God, I want to stop. I just want to see what it is that you're doing, because this hard season could really turn out to be the biggest blessing down the road, again, into the future that I can't see, in terms of the way it's shaping me, into the way it's shaping the ministry into the future that I can't see, but I need to trust that God's doing that work. I don't know. What do we think about that?
Yeah, I think you're onto something here, because what this year, or what any hard season is doing, is kind of sloughing off all of the varnish, right? This, you know, 2020 is like mineral spirits for any kind of polished ministry that you might have thought you had or aspired to have. And it's all just being stripped away, and we're getting down to the real stuff. We talked about this, I think, on the episode about unsexy ministry. That's actually ministry. You don't even need the adjective. When you get down to the hard stuff, now you see what you've got. And so I think one of the ironic blessings of this year is a lot of pastors are figuring out who their church is. You've had people who were there as long as it was like such and such. You know, they were there because they dug the style, or they were one to an experience. Now the experience is gone, and it's just the gospel and the community figuring it out together, and they're out. Well, now you see who your real church is.
For sure.
So that's really clarifying. And I think for a lot of pastors, one of the best things they can do is just feel what they feel, like lean into this difficulty. Back in January, when I had that anxiety attack thing, and a lot of people had advice for me, which is when it happens, you just let it happen. You don't fight it. And thankfully, I haven't had that. I've had little flashes of panic or anxiety since then, but I haven't had an attack like that since the beginning of the year. And I've thought a lot about that. It's like, man, that's scary. Like, you know, because what if it comes on when I'm driving or something like that? People who struggle with this, the bottom line advice that they gave me was just let it come over you. And I wonder if that's a good word even for pastors, is to say, you're fighting against this, trying to manage it, polish it, spin it. That's you actually refusing to deal with reality. Just, man, lament. I mean, feel the pain of this year, or of any hard season that you're in. There's an honesty and a clarity there that I think actually makes for good preaching.
Yes.
It makes for good counseling, right? When someone comes in for counseling, you're not trying to talk them up and tell them to put a happy face on when they're really dealing with something really difficult. You want to listen to them, enter into it as much as you can with them. And I think we need to some extent, do ourselves that favor as well. Just own, this is hard. This is just hard. This is just how it is.
But I love what you said about that, having that inform everything you do, right? One of the things that drives me crazy about pastoring is that it can become, I mean, not to use a John Piper line per se, but to just say that it can become so professional. And I feel like what's happening now, we can really let our guts show a little bit in the way that we communicate, in the way that we are pastoring other people, the way we're counseling other people, the way we're praying with other people. And we can, it really has, like you said earlier, it's kind of, no pun, it's kind of removed the mask. Let's not remove our masks. But
right.
But it has, in the sense that it allows us to just be a little more vulnerable and a little more transparent in the sense that, gosh, I mean, when you look at the way Paul, who had the hard season ministry of all hard season ministries, and Paul even talks about it, like, look, these are the 98 things that I've gone through. And yet it was still this fixation on Christ. It was like, the way that I'm teaching you right now is informed by those shipwrecks. There was no sense of Paul saying, man, if I could just get to a place where I could do the ministry I wanted and I could get this behind me. There was no getting it behind him. It was embracing what was in the present so that it can inform the people that he was with in the moment and give them a vision for what their future was going to be. But he certainly never was trying to escape it. He was trying to embrace it constantly. And I think that we really, really struggle with that. I do, personally.
Yeah. I mean, Paul is the expert at this because he's referring to, you know, his eyesight is lifted up so that, I mean, there's no such thing as an easy season for him.
God is a genius storyteller, and the evidence of this is threaded throughout Scripture. In Christianity Today's new show, Holy Curiosity, with me, Kat Armstrong, we explore storied connections threaded throughout Scripture from the Old Testament to the New. Our first mini-series, Connecting Dinah and the Woman at the Well, welcomes experts like Drs. Tim Mackey and Diane Landberg to give us insight and context into the physical location and meaning of these two stories. These stories will spark holy curiosity in your own faith, because once you see these connections, you can't unsee them. God wastes no person, place, or thing. Listen and subscribe to Holy Curiosity with Kat Armstrong on your favorite podcast platform.
So when he goes into a hard season, I mean, that's his life, that's ministry. And he says things like, this is a light momentary affliction. And you want to see, I want to punch him in the face. You know, what do you mean there's a light momentary affliction? You know, until you learn, like, gosh, he has suffered more than any of us, really. Well, he's saying that because he's comparing it to the eternal weight of glory, which is to come.
Yeah.
He's always looking beyond. For him, the green pasture is the new creation. It's not any ministry or particular mission field, or like, man, if I could just get over to this place, or he's not thinking that. He's just assuming it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, Paul's not an idealist. He's not running off of any particular personal idealism,
yes.
It feels like.
Yeah. Light momentary affliction, he says.
Right. And by the way, guys, Jared C. Wilson just publicly said he would like to punch the Apostle Paul in the face. Let's just put that one on record.
Put it on there. I'm just being real. This is a place for the truth, man.
Hey, Paul was just a guy. He put his robe on one leg at a time, or whatever they wore.
He would be an easy fight, too, because he couldn't see very well. You know?
They're going to have to edit this part out, aren't they?
I think I could take Paul.
You probably could take Paul. The way Paul self-identified, I think he was basically saying, I'm not really that great of a preacher. I can't see. I'm not a tough guy. So have at me.
But he was a tough guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a tough guy.
Yeah. So, and mentally, you know, tough. And the other thing is, you know, for him to identify weakness as the ideal, like the weaker I am, actually, the more strength comes through. That, to me, I think should be so instructive for us in times like this, and just for ministry in general, but for times like, man, it's just been a rough season. And I feel for any guy who, man, that's just where they're at. Like, they almost don't have words. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah.
Wes Anderson. It's one of the few movies that has made me cry. There's a particular scene towards the end where, like, all this stuff, like, everything's just falling apart. And Ben Stiller is one of the sons, and he has two sons. And he's a widower. His wife has passed away recently. And he's raising these two boys, these twin boys himself. And he's very, like, regimented, if you remember, like they wear matching track suits, and, you know, he's got all these rules, and he's very rigid. And you get to the end, and all these things are falling apart, and he sees his dad, who is this really kind of a jerk, falling apart patriarch of the family. His name is Royal Tenenbaum. And the son, you know, Ben Stiller, there's a scene in the street, I think it's after a car crash even, where the son looks at him and says, it's been a hard year. And his dad looks at him and says, I know, son. And there's just something about the way Stiller delivers the line based on everything you know about him. He's been trying to manage, to juggle, to keep everything together. And when inside, he's just falling apart. He's racked with grief. And just that line, it's been a hard year. I'm putting that kind of in the mouths of a lot of pastors crawling into December.
Yeah.
You know, looking at January thinking 2021's got to be better, right?
Yeah.
It's been a hard year. And the father looks at us and says, I know, son.
I know. It's a great line. It's a great line. It's so appropriate. It kind of made me think of, I'm always drawn back to this, John 21, right? When Peter goes back to the boat, fishing, sees Jesus on the shore, cooking breakfast, dives in, swims over, but he's tentative. You know, he doesn't know what Jesus is going to say. The last connection point they had was when he had denied him and Jesus gave him the look and he wept bitterly. And here he is coming back. I mean, Jesus is just cooking for him, you know, and he's there. He's present with them. There's the first words out of his mouth aren't condemnation. It wasn't, man, you should have known better. You should have done better. You abandoned me. You deny me. We're going to talk before I put any fish on your plate, man, we're going to talk about this. We're going to settle this. It doesn't even come up, you know, and talk about the hard season that he had come off of with Jesus. And certainly the hard season for the rest of his life he was about to enter into. And yet Jesus basically said, man, I'm here. I love you. Love the people that I've given you to love. And I just wonder, without being glib, man, because it's easy to do that, with a deep-hearted sensitivity even, I wonder if our encouragement to not only ourselves, but to pastors right now is just to say, hey, you're in the place that God wants you to be in so that you can see the God who is in that place with you. And man, it doesn't mean that it's you would have picked it, and it doesn't mean it's ideal, but it does mean that you are exactly where God has you. Hard seasons, they come from the hand of a hospitable God who invites us in to share those things in our life that are hurting, so that he can show us once again that, man, he has not let us go. His arms are around us. He doesn't have a grip that ever lets us loose. And I think if we could remember that, we could look around us and go, hey, it's okay for things to be different. It's okay that I've had to slow down. It's okay that I can't do all the things that I do that justifies my job, that justifies my paycheck. It's okay to just be in this season, because God is doing something in your becoming, and he's using this hard season to do it. And I wonder if we can, I wonder if we could just settle into that a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, just feel it. Hey, your illustration was a lot more holy than mine was.
I don't think with the Royal Tenenbaums? No, that was brilliant.
I had Royal Tenenbaums, you're like, how about the Bible?
Well, I'm thinking like, man, we're talking to pastors. We should probably bring up some scripture every once in a while.
You're like, there's this guy named Jesus here. Have you heard of him? Hey, you're going to get a mixed bag on here. That's such a great pastoral word, though, brother. And I almost wanted you to keep going.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just...
That would be my word to pastors. Keep going.
Keep going. Keep going in the hard season. I know. And I don't know. There's something about that feels... And I don't think we've been thin at any stretch today. But to encourage a brother to say, hey, keep going. We're going with you. God is not lagging behind. He's not two steps behind our pace. He keeps with our pace.
Yeah. And we're going to look back on this.
Yes.
This isn't forever, right? You're going to get on the other side of this. I don't know when that day is, but you're going to be on the other side of it. And you're going to be able to look back and go, man, 2020, what was that about, right? You're going to have lessons that you have learned and wisdom that you have gained from that season. If you will not resist it. Yeah, lean into it and sense the Lord there. Ronnie, it's been great talking with you.
Yeah, man.
You've been listening to the Art of Pastoring podcast.
Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through.
If you're liking the show, please take a minute and give us a rating and review in iTunes. It helps other people find us. You can find Ronnie and me on Twitter at Ronnie J. Martin and at Jared C. Wilson. Feel free to hit us up with questions and potential topics for the show. We'd love to hear from you. The Art of Pastoring is a production of Christianity Today. It's produced by Mike Cosper, editing by Mike Cosper and Aaron Leslie, mixing by Aaron Leslie. Our theme song is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah by Jeremy Casella.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Lord of Spirits podcast. Many Christians yearn to break free of the influence of secular materialism and to understand the union of the seen and unseen worlds as made by God. What is the spiritual world like? Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.